Yeah,
because you are a genius creator, and you've done a great job with your company.
I don't want to say I was always super strategical and super logical. I felt like I had the baseline, but it's really easy for your passionate and emotional side to really to kind of take over that. So I had to hone in both. And that's what creativity is a long game, because no one's going to like just show up to your doorstep and be like, hey, like we saw you make this graphic online. We want to give you $1 million. Like, it's never going to happen like that.
Welcome back to another episode of the Cody Cottle Show. Today, we're going to get really creative. I have an incredible guest with me, someone that I just admire so much. At 25 years old, what he's accomplished, he's a serial entrepreneur, was in the military, building businesses. He's the CEO and the founder of Optic Element, a visual brand strategist, just an amazing guy. Welcome to the show, Santiago Castro.
Thanks, man. It's an amazing intro, man. I really appreciate you. Really want to thank you for having me on here.
Yeah, dude. No, the honor's mine. And, you know, it's been so cool just to watch you and just how creative you are and how gifted you are and the company you've built and the team you've built with Optic Element and what you guys are doing. So I'm really pumped with the goal that's going to come out of this show with you, bro.
Thanks, man. Super impressed by your show, dude. I love the guests you have on here, man. The quality of the content, dude, it's been stellar.
Well, when you're surrounded by guys like you, the level of excellence is high. That's for sure, bro. So let's kick it off with this. Santiago, what do you value most in life?
Man, that's a good question. It's a really deep question. I'd say it's actually kind of hard, because I feel like where I'm at right now, I used to, like, I mean, Every I feel like every point in your life you value something different. For me, it was a while ago, you know, just like building my business and all these things and you know, having a good life with my wife. But now that I have a child in the mix, it's kind of like there's something different there for me, kind of that's now been transformed into something bigger than me, and it's kind of more turned into legacy is more of what my what I value more within the season that I'm in right now.
That's powerful, man. And it's amazing to see, even at 25 years old, driven, building the business, all of that, and you have a wife and you're married and you have a kid.
Yeah.
And how that's shifted the paradigm of the way you're looking at and the lens that you see the world through.
100%. Yeah, no, it changes. I mean, everybody says it, you know, it was like, oh yeah, kids change your life. And even like, you know, I have friends with kids and they're like, yeah, when he's born, you're just gonna like, it's gonna change your whole life. And I was like, yeah, but like, it's so hard to really prepare for. There's something that can prepare you for it. And then, you know, it's not just in the aspect of like a physical schedule change of your life, although that does happen. But it's more of like, it's like a fresh perspective that was birthed with your child. And almost instantly is what it feels like. I feel like I view the world differently. And then even like prior to, you know, my wife being pregnant and stuff, I was like, you know, there's a lot of things that I was seeing in the nature of how God designed birth, how it's very parallel with the way life happens and all these things. And I was like, man, like, this is just amazing. It's just like, it's one of those things that I've never really had a lot of time to focus on, because I never had a child, nor really, I didn't even really want a kid. Like this time last year, I didn't want a kid, but God changed that like in the middle of the year. And then my wife and I decided to start trying. And then within that, like, you know, now I know why, you know, I was like, I can see why God wanted me to have a child, you know.
Wow.
Definitely needed it, for sure.
That's amazing, man. Yeah. And it's just cool to see that. And in what ways would you say, I mean, obviously the focus on legacy, but what else has that changed in you having a kid?
I've like honed the way I live my life to be very intentional. And so when I have a kid, like I feel like intentionality is heightened. Because like, you know, you can be semi-intentional and get what you want or do, you know, kind of the things that you're planning to do. But with a child, it's like, it's more hypersensitive in the way you're intentional, because there's, you know, you're with that child from zero to all the way till, you know, they're an adult. So everything you do, is going to affect them. So you have to be extremely intentional, like more than ever. And so things that I was thinking, and one of my friends was telling me about, you know, the way that, you know, you're raised and how that, you know, has everything to do with the way you live your life today, and how he was saying how your parents, the tone that your parents speak to you in is the tone that you end up developing as your own voice in your head as you grow up.
Wow.
So like the way you talk to yourself is not really, you know, a tone that you've developed on your own, is a tone that you've kind of adopted from your parents. So that alone, I was like, man, I got to like make sure that I do that in a healthy way. And the Bible says that, you know, our children are arrows. And, you know, back in the day, like you would have to, you know, take an arrow and build it from scratch. And every arrow is different, because every rock is different, every stick is different. And then you have to mold and shape that arrow, and then you then launch it. And then depending on how effectively, intentionally you made that arrow is going to determine the trajectory and the impact of what it does. And that's exactly what happens when you are raising a child. You're molding arrows, and the impact that they make is solely really determines on what you do and how you mold that. And so that takes a whole nother level of responsibility. And I don't really like, although this, you know, my son is my son, I see everybody as God's children. So yeah. I even see my son as God's son. So I'm like, into my perspective, I'm not only is he like, you know, my son, but I'm like, this is a human being that God loves and cherishes. And he's like, hey, I want you to raise him. And that to me is like a really big responsibility. It's like, oh my God, like it's a whole human, you know? It's almost like if you were to like, if let's say Elon Musk were to come to you and say, hey, look, this is my most prized business project that I've been working on, and I want you to build it. That's a big responsibility. There's a lot of weight on your shoulders, and you're like, man, it's almost like the same situation. And I'm like, you know, very grateful for it, but there's also like, I don't take it lightly. Not just like, oh, like I have a kid and I'm just gonna, you know, he's just gonna grow up and it is what it is. Like I feel like my intentionality has become a lot more intentional, you know?
Yeah. Dude, so. That's so powerful, bro.
Thanks, man.
I could see that. And it's really cool to see. So, you know, you're 25 years old, mm-hmm. you have a business that's blowing up right now. You're married, you have a kid, you guys just got a new space. You're building out right now. We were talking before the show, and mm-hmm. I think it's so powerful. And guys, I think what's cool is Santiago is already successful, but he's going to be very highly successful in his life. Prophesying that over you.
I receive
and
it, man.
You're on the trajectory, right? And what a lot of times happens in life is we get to hear from a lot of guys that are like 40 plus, super successful, built the company, put in the work in the 20s. We don't always get to hear from guys that are 25 years old, my age, your age, you know, 28, 25, that are in the thick of it. And like, dude, yeah. like everything happening at once. And I think it's such a make it or break it time you're in. Yeah. I think so many people probably throw in the towel because of the pressure, right? We were talking about being refined by fire. Mm-hmm. So can you speak a little bit just about your journey, right? Of where you're at right now with managing business and family, you know, husbandry, fatherhood, business, all these things going on, what mm-hmm. you're learning from this, how that's refining you in this season of your life?
Yeah. No, man, that's a great question. Funny enough, like a little backstory, I want to say middle of last year, like our business was doing really well. We were less than a year old, getting to a point where we were pretty comfortable. For some reason, you know, God put on my heart to, you know, have a child. And then I was like, you know, like my plan was to hit a certain level of success financially before having a child or even thinking about it. But I had, you know, I had a dream, and I felt God say that, you know, that I can't always just try to, you know, try to do things in my own strength and then try to do something like have a child. He's like, just trust him that if anything, the child is going to accelerate that. Mm. And I was like, I don't know, like logistically, you know, more time is taken away from my day, you know, I have to pay for another human being to live. Didn't seem like, you know, like the logical move. Obviously that's not how God operates. But it was a really emotional dream, and I decided to fully trust him. And within that, as soon as my wife got pregnant, my life started to get hard. Not from a tense of like, you know, physically hard, but like more of like just little things. It was just started with little things here and there. And then, plus the pressure of like, I'm about to be a dad, all these things. It wasn't that hard, but I could feel that I was about to enter into a really hard season in the next couple of months. And I knew that this pain that was happening, and even last year, or not last year, but the year prior to that, it was not necessarily a hard year, but there was a lot of like hiccups with me mentally. I was like depressed and things like that. But that played a part. Plus this like pregame of hard was where those two things were coming together. It was like, I almost can feel that it was a preparation for this season that I'm in right now. So then we ended the year super chill. I was like, we're not really going to do much. I just really want to relax, because I feel like next year is going to be hectic. And then as soon as the year starts, everything gets like 0 to 100. It's like, cause not only, I mean, obviously like there's a lot of things happening in my life, but there's a lot of things happening in the world. Like there's the economy, like the presidency coming up. There's so many things that factor in a lot of things that, you know, affect my day-to-day life. So it's not just my personal life, but it's the exterior stuff too. So everything's like happening at once. You know, it's been a battle. Like my wife, as soon as she got pregnant, I felt like it was going to be a boy, but I didn't want to say that because I didn't want to be like cocky and then it wasn't a boy. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to just be quiet. And I wanted a boy, but then I ended up, kind of like warming up to the idea of like, oh, like, well, I kind of want it to be a girl. And then I've convinced myself for it to be a girl because I started to realize that, in the midst of me having a boy, I would have to confront certain things about, myself and my father.
Wow.
So I was like, man, and then I started to realize that, you know, like long story short, I didn't have a dad growing up. My mom did a great job, never spoke bad about him. I didn't know anything about him. I still don't really even know his name. Like, I don't really like remember it when people say it, because he's such a stranger to me. I've had few interactions with him, and they weren't the best. Like, he was just, whether him like trying to sue me for money or something like that. But I was like, I always told myself like, oh yeah, I don't have daddy issues. Like, I don't know my dad. How can I have daddy issues if I don't know my dad? And then as you know, my wife was getting more closer and closer and closer to the due date. I started to feel more of that pressure, and then I started to almost feel a little bit more of like the idea of like, you know, the beauty of what it is to have a child. And then kind of started thinking like, how can someone do this? Like, how can someone just leave a child? And then I started to feel some resentment towards my dad, even though I was just really good at burying it away for a long time. So these things really started coming up like a lot. And then parallel, my relationship with God became like pretty bad. Not in the sense of like, I wasn't like over here, you know, doing drugs, doing like terrible things, but, in the sense of like, I felt almost resentment towards God because, you know, like the relationship you have with your father on earth is always going to parallel the way you see God, unless you get it identified and fixed. And I didn't have that fixed. So I would notice that the more I grew resentment towards my actual dad, the less I wanted to have alone time with God, the less I wanted to talk to God, the less I wanted to actually, you know, I was still serving. I still like went to church, still like loved Jesus, still was like telling people my testimony, but the intimacy relationally wise, I was really avoiding, you know. And the way I knew it was because I did Alex Klotz Vival, and one of my every quarterly goals is to have intentional time with God. Every goal I was hitting except that one. And that one's one of the easiest ones. It's like, you know, like just a few hours out of my week. And I knew that it wasn't like, there was no excuse. There wasn't like, oh, I didn't have time or anything like that. It's just, I was avoiding it. And I can tell based off like when I look at the year, I was like, why didn't I hit this one goal all four quarters? And then it's, you know, you have to face the reality of like, I was avoiding that. And then, you know, that went into that. And then finally I decided to tell my wife about it. Never told anybody about how I felt about my father. And then I told my connect group about it, and then they prayed for me, and I felt like a good feeling. And then that alone I realized was kind of holding me back, holding me obviously from my relationship with God. And then in turn, like, I feel like if I didn't address that, I have this year that I'm going through this year, I wouldn't be able to hold. Like, it just, I would still be dwelling on that. And that would, you know, affect the rest of my business, the way I treat my wife, the way I treat my team. And then everything I would be dealing with today would crumble if I didn't deal with that. So that was a big thing. And then, you know, then going into that, you know, overcoming that now in the midst of like, okay, cool. Now I got to deal with the actual logistics of having a child, like my schedule, and then obviously building my business. Plus we moved into a new studio. And there's a lot of things that go into it. Like, there's a lot of hiccups. There's a lot of money that I have to pull out of my own account to be able to like make sure the business is growing, and really realizing how, you know, people aren't necessarily reliable, and really kind of rehoning in that relationship with God in the sense of like, the only person that I can rely on is God has really gotten me closer to God, you know, in the sense of that. And again, if I didn't have that, like, again, when I started my business in the beginning, it was the same story. It's always the same thing, but a different level.
Yeah.
You know, I left the Marine Corps. I didn't know what I was going to do, how I was going to pay my bills. I started my business, never done before, like never been a full entrepreneur. Thought it was the most irresponsible thing because I have, you know, have a home, I had a wife, and then God has always prevailed within that, and it got me closer to God. Same thing here, just different level. And even though the crazy part is, as a Christian and even as like an entrepreneur, like, you know that there's always going to be the next level. You know that there's always going to be the, you know, the next point of pressure. And it almost looks identical as the last one, but just a little bit harder. And you know that you always make it past it, but it doesn't make the process any easier.
No.
And the cool thing that I realized as well was, you know, when my wife was giving birth, because she did an all natural birth, we took classes and stuff. in the classes, they were telling us the different stages of birth. And it's really cool. I didn't know. There's a lot of things I didn't know about a birth, like birth. But they were saying how the woman's body knows what to do. Like if a female was in a coma and pregnant, their body would birth the child on its own. I didn't know that. I didn't know that was a thing, which is amazing to me because a lot of people, at least within the medical field, make it seem like it's this like unnatural process and you have to like force it. But it's actually something that the body knows what to do. And they were telling us like there's different phases, like, you know, within her contractions and all this stuff and how to measure it. And they said there's going to be a certain point in the pregnancy where it's going to be hours into the labor. Like it could be 10 hours, 8 hours in. That it's going to get extremely hard for her to the point where she's going to feel like she's going to regret every aspect of it. She's going to be like, why did we do this? She's going to want to go to the hospital. She's going to want to take, you know, the epidural and get like, you know, taken to the hospital. And my job was to ground her and be like, hey, like, cause the expectation for them is it gets extremely, extremely painful. And they think that they have to do that 8 hours or 10 hours all over again, but with that same pain. But in reality, that pain that spikes up means that you're right there. You're right about to get birth. So you're right at the point of breakthrough. And that's kind of like almost, again, I like how I've seen my life. It's been hard. It's been a hard couple months. Nothing that I can't manage, but then it's getting to the point where it feels extremely painful, almost to like the point of, I feel like a regret. Like, why did I do this? Like, I could have just gotten a normal 9-to-5 job. I could have just, you know, kept my head down and just, you know, pay my bills and then live my life in a very comfortable way. And that a lot of entrepreneurs tend to, you know, go through that, whether they say it or not.
Oh, dude, every single one of 100%, us. Bro.
Yeah, 100%,
and,
yeah.
And when you get through it, then it comes again. Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, it was worth it. And then it happens again, different level, right? So then I realized that's kind of where I'm at. But then I'm like remembering, you know, when my wife was going through labor, it was almost like a godlike perspective of like, although she's in pain and I'm not, and I know the process, and she's in it and I'm over here, you know, grounding her. And the same thing as a relationship with God is where we're in so much pain within whatever we're dealing with, whether it's entrepreneurship or whatever, you're right at the brink of breakthrough. And, you know, God knows what's happening on the other end and he's the one that's grounding you. So, that's kind of where I'm at. I haven't even hit the breakthrough yet.
Yeah.
I'm still in it. I'm right at the peak. But I know it's coming and I know it's just a game. It's just a game of me doing what I'm supposed to be doing in my natural and letting God meet it with a super, you know?
Yeah. I've never heard it explained in that way so well. And I think that everyone listening to this could probably relate in their own way, even if they're not an entrepreneur in their own life, right? Yeah. And I love how you talked about that spike where it's so painful. And that's such an interesting time to be at. Mm-hmm. Just like your wife, right? Like at the pain is so unbearable that in that moment, you're almost willing to do whatever you can to escape the pain.
100%, yeah.
And it's like, one thing that's key in that story too, because I always try to listen as people talk and how do I draw key points? Your job in that was to ground your wife, to get her through. That reminded me how important who we surround ourselves with in doing these things in our life and going through these moments. Like, who do you have to lean on and talk to? Like, I don't want to do this anymore.
Oh yeah.
Like, and they push you through it. There's a guy named Dr. Jeffrey Spencer who coaches a friend of mine who runs a $32 million company. Mm-hmm. And he coached Lance Armstrong and Tiger Woods and all these famous people. He was talking about how every super successful person hits a point in their life where he gets the 3 a.m. phone call. And he has to hop on the private jet and fly to them and meet with them. And they haven't slept in days. They're probably drunk or on drugs or whatever, like just trying to numb themselves. And they're like, how did I get here? Take it all away. I don't want it.
Yeah.
They hit this critical mass point and sometimes multiple times, especially, you know, celebrities and this, that, anyone doing anything successful. And he said every single one of them hit a point where the pain is so unbearable. They want the epidermal.
Yeah.
They'll do what they're like, take all my wealth away, take all the money, take all the house, take all the cars, take the career, take all the success. I don't want this pain anymore.
Yeah.
And his job is to do what you did for your wife.
Yeah.
To ground them.
Yeah, man. It's crazy to think like without other people or like even without like, I think about this all the time. Like, I don't know how people who build businesses without God, like I'm like, I don't know how you do it. Like for sure. Like you must have some really good gurus and really good like, you know, people in your life. But that's like one of those things I'm like, I could have never done, do, or even like, I mean, it's not like I'm done, but I could never be doing what I'm doing if it wasn't without God. Like I would probably have, you know, probably thrown in the towel.
Well, he's the cornerstone, the 100%. Firm foundation, right?
Yeah.
And that's such a theme because God is, it's so interesting. So we both have issues. Like my dad's been in prison my whole life. Your dad mm-hmm. was never in your life. And I never realized how much that, which I also know him, which I also tucked away, which I also never addressed and never made a big deal of. He's never been there. It's whatever.
Yeah.
But then how it surfaces, then yeah. I saw the parallel too, like, oh, I don't have the real intimacy with God I could have because I never knew how to have intimacy with my father.
Yep.
Same with you. Mm-hmm. So it's this whole thing and you have to identify the wound and guys like us, we're drivers. So mm-hmm. we're like, nah, let's put that over there. We'll keep going this way.
Yeah, yeah.
But it keeps coming back. Mm-hmm. And you have to, what I had a revelation in the last 6 months of my life is if you don't heal, you can't heal what you don't touch mm-hmm. and what you don't see.
Yeah.
And if you don't look at it and you don't touch it, you can't heal it mm-hmm. if you don't address it. Yep. And if you don't heal it, the baggage from it will continue to show up in other areas of your life.
100%, man. Like, it's just, it's crazy. It's, although it's invisible, you know, it still underlines your whole life. Like the way you do things, like again, like I found myself in the beginning where I didn't want to like have intimate time with God. And I was like, I just didn't know. I don't know if I was like, maybe I'm tired, maybe whatever. And then I was trying to really, my mind has suppressed it so well that I didn't even see it. And I'm very self-aware in the things that I do. It wasn't until I had a child. It took a whole child for me to be, you know, self-aware.
And what's crazy is God spoke to you through a dream, mm-hmm. even about having a child, which was nothing on your radar, mm-hmm. and then used all of these things mm-hmm. to get you to this point.
Oh yeah, 100%. Like those things too. Like when I look back at, you know, the people that I've you know, had relationships with that have, you know, been led to Christ, or even like I've done life with, and I get to see them grow and flourish. Like I always see, you know, God's signature, you know, the same thing, even with my own life, like the whole thing from the dream, like I didn't want a kid to then having a kid to now, like, you know, like I enjoy it so much. And even then, like it's something that I needed. And God knows us and in such an intimate level, he knows us exactly what we need and where we're at. And he knew that I needed that, you know, like even if he told me like, hey, like he could have gave me the whole recipe of like, hey, in order to overcome this, to be able to build a business in this level, you're going to have a child so that child can help you do this. I would tell him like, hey, that's so unnecessary. I would say like, no, there's no point in doing that. Like I can just figure it out on a different way. But, he even knows me so deeply that was the only way, to get me to really like face that. Because again, I've suppressed it so well, like to the point where I didn't think it was a problem. And that's the worst type of problem is when you don't think it's a problem, you know? And I'm really good at identifying problems like within myself and other people, but that was something I've suppressed for a long time. And it was definitely a great way of, really addressing it. Because it was something that, you know, I had to face, you know, yeah. It's a whole human's life on the line. You
There's
know?
Something you said that I just feel the Holy Spirit telling me to bring up on this, and you briefly touched on it, and it's something I actually can relate to. So in the theme of what we've been talking about, I think one of the biggest things about being a champion in this world mm-hmm. is not self-sabotaging. Mm-hmm. And I think that within that, it's because typically self-sabotage comes when the pain is so bad mm-hmm. that you'll do anything you can to escape it.
Oh yeah.
And I think one of the things you mentioned, depression, mm-hmm. you mentioned going through a tough time with mental health. I found myself in a weird place, and I'll be vulnerable too with you, bro, because mm-hmm. you're being vulnerable. Around Christmas time this year, me and my girlfriend were not engaged yet. We're heading towards that. And like we had asked her family if I could go spend Christmas with them. I hadn't really thought about Christmas. Life was busy. My business was busy. Mm-hmm. And I kind of thought that was going to happen. And he didn't really get back to us in like a week and a half before. He's like, no, I'm not comfortable with that. Mm. And I was like, oh, it's fine, this and that, you know. And I ended up spending Christmas here alone with my dog. And mm-hmm. I didn't realize I was numbing so many things that all these things surfaced mm-hmm. that I went through this rut for about 40 days probably, which is funny, like 40 days, 40 nights of being very depressed in this really dark place. And it lingered. It was, and there was an onset. There was a pregame to that before that happened. I was already feeling depressed. I was already feeling sad. I was tucking it away. Mm-hmm. I was avoiding it. I was going through the day to day, showing up, putting on fake smiles, mm-hmm. doing all the motions in life. And I went through this huge rut, and I heard you say, you know, your life was blowing up, dude. Mm-hmm. And yet you still felt sad and depressed. Yeah. Probably you didn't share it with the world.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah, no, 100%, man. Like it was last year, was a great, a great year on paper is what I tell people. Made a lot of money, got to really travel a lot. Things were really well, going really well in general. But what happened was I was actually, it was really weird for me. In the beginning of the year, I was like, my mentality was like, all right, this is my first full year outside of the Marine Corps. I'm going to maximize, do as much as I can, build this business. Because my business was only like maybe 4 months old at that point in the beginning of last year. I was like on top of my goals, and then I got injured. I hurt my back pretty badly. And then that was like what kind of like, it kind of almost made me slow down, but I was not in a way that I enjoyed it. Like I was really upset. And then it made me like, first I was getting depressed because I wasn't working out. And then I was depressed because I was like, you know, I'm 24. I can't even like sleep on my back without it like hurting, like extremely. It's hard for me to walk, hard for me to sit in my car. Like it was hard for me to do everything. And that started the process. And then I found, you know, a trainer helped me, you know, heal from that, and it came back better. But even once that was situated, I was like, I still feel depressed. And I was like, I don't know why. And this was the first time in a long time where I was like, I've actually felt depressed, because I felt depressed prior when I was in the Marine Corps, but that was obvious. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, my condition was terrible. And so it's easy to put a finger on, this is the reason why I'm depressed. You know, I had one of my best friends kill themselves, plus the work environment, plus all these things that I was a new Christian, and you know, all these things were coming up, and I didn't know how to deal with it. So that was a really easy, you know, identifier of like, oh, this is why I'm depressed. But this last year, it was actually kind of hard for me to pinpoint. I was like, you know, I was literally outside in my house. I was like walking my dogs, and I was sitting in my backyard, and it's a beautiful day in San Diego. And I'm like, why do I feel so depressed? Like I have a great life. I have a great wife, you know, I have a good business. I live in San Diego, all these things. And I couldn't shake the feeling of it. And then I tried to suppress it, the whole year. And it was really hard. I was like, I didn't feel like, you know, doing a lot of the things, you know. Thank God I had a good system in place as far as my habits. Because if I didn't have that, I would have probably self-sabotaged. The good thing is I've gotten in a place where my habits overpower my self-sabotage, because I used to self-sabotage a lot back then. But even though I felt this way, I was still showing up and doing all the things. And that's why it was still a good year on paper. But, you know, mentally it was rough. I was like, man. And then actually towards the end of the year, which is when, you know, my wife was pregnant, and I started to kind of see these underlying problems. I realized it all stemmed from my father. And again, like I really had no clue in the beginning of the year. I was like, why? This makes no sense.
Yeah.
And then obviously at the same time, I was moving further away from God, like from an intimate level. Like I was still serving all stuff, but I just didn't have that intimate time with him. So they just all ended up being like a point of like realizing that it was something that I buried so deep. And it all stems like, because depression is just a surface level, you know, issue. Like, you know, some people try to like accommodate.
That's a symptom of a deeper issue.
Yeah, 100%. So they're like, oh, I'm depressed. They get on meds, or they try to do something to make them happy. They do their affirmations, whatever. But in reality, there's something deeper. And a lot of times, like, and I had one of my good friends tell me, like, because I was telling him a lot of stuff, and he was saying how like, you right now, the person you are today may have overcome a lot of things, but there's a lot of things that the child version of yourself has not.
Yeah.
And you have to revisit those things from your childhood and accept it. And like,
have you ever done EMDR therapy?
No, I've never done it. Like I've always wanted to. I was like, man, I'll be like,
same.
Someone.
I haven't done it yet, but I'm actually about to start.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah. Because I realized like that those are things you have to revisit and almost back and heal that like 7-year-old Santi or Cody went through.
Yeah.
That's showing up in our adult
100%.
Lives.
Dude, yeah, that's something that I've been like looking into. Cause I was like, you know, I never really was like, oh, like, I don't know if it's like worth trying to go to therapy, trying to get like, you know, that type of thing.
And,
fixed
and for entrepreneurs, you know, business owners, like that's more time on my schedule, more money I got to spend.
For real.
I don't know if I really even believe in it to begin with. Yeah. Like I had to go through this talk with Esther and stuff. And then I finally realized like, wow, maybe there's some wounds that haven't been healed.
Yeah.
And if I don't prioritize them, and it's funny, we'll hire the coach for business. Mm-hmm. We'll spend all the money on buying the new equipment, getting the building, doing all the things. But the very thing that's like the real root of what needs to be fixed to flourish all other areas of our life, we'll neglect to do, especially men, like
100%.
Deep work.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's also like a pride thing. Like, oh, I can figure it out.
Ego, pride. Yeah. And we're problem solvers, professional. Yeah,
100%. So I feel that too. Cause I was like, man, I don't know if it's worth it, the time, all that stuff. And, And now that I have a son, it's like not about me anymore. It's more of like, okay,
that intentionality, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Now it becomes legacy. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. not just about me.
Yep.
How is it going to affect him?
Yeah. Cause it's like, now I can't like, cause I know that like, I tell people like everything that I'm doing right now, if I was single, if I didn't have a wife, I didn't have a son, would be 10 times easier because I could just sleep in my car. I would probably just sleep in my studio. And then I don't have to really face or really address certain things because at the end of the day, like I can hold it within myself. But once you start to build a family, it's hard to then hide that from your wife. And then it's hard for that then not to then leak onto your son or your daughter because they then pick up all these like, you know, subconscious cues. So then now you have to be extremely aware. You can't like, yeah. if it's just you, it's a little bit easier. But when you have like a whole family now, it's like, you know, it's extremely, extremely hard because everything that you do, it's going to affect them in some shape or form. So now it's like a different level of pressure of like actually having to get it like addressed. And that's something that I'm working on to do.
Well, you talked about intimacy with God. And mm-hmm. so when I was going through my tough time too, and you know, usually every time I'm going through a difficult time, I can tie back to, I'm not prioritizing my intimacy with God.
Yeah.
And I think that's a lot different than people think. Cause mm-hmm. I even got into the rut of checking the boxes of the habits, mm-hmm. but still not having intimacy with God.
Yeah.
I read my Bible for 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. I listened to worship for 15 minutes. I went and said a little prayer and yeah. like, I'm good, right,
yeah,
God?
Yeah.
But it wasn't intimacy. It wasn't relationship. Yeah. And for me, I was in Austin, Texas at a mastermind retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cool because it's a faith-based group of business owners.
Nice.
And you've met Nicholas and yeah. Events and now he's changed it to King's Brotherhood, full faith base.
Oh, that's awesome.
And he brought his pastor in of his church there, and the pastor was sharing about business and ministry and this and that. And he did an mm-hmm. altar call at a business event. I've never seen that before.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And cool. while he was doing this altar call and my eyes were closed, I got a vision from Jesus that was just, it rocked me. Mm-hmm. I saw Jesus at the door knocking. I had opened the door. Jesus was in my home. There was a table and two like nice like living room chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And there was two warm cups of coffee with like steam coming off of it. Mm-hmm. And Jesus was sitting there to have coffee with me. And I was busy, like, I don't know if I remember if it was Martha or whatever, like running around my house trying to put things away and tidy up.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this vivid image that the whole point of that was Jesus like, I'm in your home. I'm sitting down to have coffee with you,
mm-hmm.
to have relationship with you. And you're worrying about everything else.
Yeah.
But sitting crazy. Down with me and having relationship with me. And after that, I started prioritizing mm-hmm. that. And I remember I had this moment, I know how to talk to God and all that,
mm-hmm.
but I went and sat on my porch at like 4:30 a.m. for like an hour. Just didn't really hear anything. Nothing really happened. And after that hour, I just kept asking, like, I just want to have relationship with you. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden I felt the presence of God. And I had a coffee. I went and got my coffee and I literally, call me crazy, but I was sitting with Jesus.
That's
and
cool.
we were having a conversation and yeah. I began to do that every single day. And
yeah.
those depressive thoughts and the things I had in my head, I'm not going to say they're completely gone because that would yeah. be lying to you and lying mm-hmm. to the audience. But for the most part, all of the issues I was having went away mm-hmm. because I started prioritizing what I should have been prioritizing all along.
Yeah. 100%, man. It's the basics. And sometimes, I mean, even as entrepreneurs, like it's hard to, sometimes it's hard to like go back to the basics.
Yeah.
And I'm the same way, man. I've had really good moments where I've been extremely intimate with God and life's been great. And then I let things get super busy and I don't prioritize anymore. And then things start to then kind of like get harder. And again, it's not necessarily the fact that like, because I spent intimacy and like have that time with God that my life just substantially gets easier. It's just, I have a different, different type of view of the world and a different type of understanding and even like a different type of favor when I do have that intimate time. Like it's the same situation. I'm the same person. The only difference is that when you have that intimate time with God, there's a different type of like preparation when you enter that same situation. That's why Christians usually are like extremely good at getting past hard times because of, again, they're no different than any other person.
Yeah.
Situations are not easier. They're not harder. They're the same as for anyone else. But it's really more of the way they enter that situation. And having the intimacy with time with God is what that pretty much that is that consistency of like grounding yourself
yeah.
and tying yourself to something bigger. Cause it is, I tell people all the time, like life is hard. It's, it's never, you know, it's never going to be easy all the time. And whether you're a Christian or not, like there's no way around that. But what you can control is, you know, having somebody that's bigger than you and trusting in that somebody, to be able to get you past that. And that's where you ground yourself with something a lot bigger, a lot more powerful than you. That, to me, that's God. Because there's only so far and so much, that logic can do for you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I love it, man. That's so powerful. Let's turn the wheels a little bit now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about some creative stuff.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
you are a genius creator and you've done a great job with your company. Real quick, just tell us in like a quick snapshot. I got to download. What does it mean to be a creative for you?
And I got a lengthy answer for that, but I'll give you a short version. To me, the way I see creatives and creators, like I don't see like, you know, people think creatives are like, you know, people who paint or like make videos or photos and all stuff. Although that is, you know, within the spectrum of being creative. But the way I see it is just the way, you know, God created us in his image. And the first thing God does in the Bible is create. So God is a creator who then created us in his image, which then, you know, puts us as, you know, sub-creators. We're also creative. So
yeah,
we're creative and we're created to create. And so that's what I see as the aspect of being creative. Like, so being a creator is someone who's able to actually make things, whether it's, you know, build a business or, you know, make a painting, or whether it's build a family or a system or a blueprint, whatever it is, it doesn't matter what industry you are, you're at some level, you're a creator. And the reason why is we were all, you know, designed in that fashion. So for me, being a creative is someone who is, because I feel like everybody is a creator at some level, but being a creative is where you're, when you're running in that lane. So whatever it is, whether you're in politics or within the media or you're in arts and entertainment, when you're actually not just making stuff, because anybody can make anything, but you're doing it well is when you're operating in that creative lane. That's, for me at least, is how I define it.
Yeah, that's so good. And share with the audience kind of what your creative lane is that you run in.
So I specialize in really just visual branding. The best way to put it is like just, you know, helping people look good. And not in the sense of like a very like, you know, like surface level fashion. But I like to make things look good. The way I built this business was in the beginning, I was in an apprenticeship program at Pathfinders and doing it for a whole nother business. And there was a whole bunch of other entrepreneurs in that class with me. And I was like seeing their business and I was like, man, a lot of these people are a lot older than I am. And they have a lot of these old like style concepts for their business. And I can see how it's, you know, kind of turns people away. And I would just give like ideas like, hey, you should probably do this, maybe simplify this, or you should do this on social media, do that. Because I was doing it for myself because I just liked to do it. And then they would, to the point where everybody was asking me to do it. And that's kind of where I felt like I was saying, hey, this is where you need to run versus the other business that I was trying to build, which I'm still going to build that. But I felt like to put that on the sidelines and then build this first. And I just kind of was like, man, like that's, you know, what I've always done. I've been like a video creator since I was like, not like 10, you know. I bought a camera from Walmart, you know, from selling candy. And I would like make stupid videos with my friends,
yeah.
You know, and I would post.
Those were the days
those videos are so stupid, but I love the passion of doing that. And then over time, like I just love photography, videography. I've dabbled in everything, graphic designs, all that stuff. And I always used to think like, man, I love, you know, to do photography. Then I would do videography. Oh, I love videography. Then I'm like, oh, then graphic design. I love that. Then like doing all these things, I realized like, it's not necessarily the each action or each skill set that I love to do. It's, I love to make things look good, whether it's through graphic designs, photography. And then on top of that, even more than that, I love to build people to make them look good. On both sides of the spectrum, whether it's on your side of the spectrum, if you're a client and you want to look good and I want to help you with that, or if you're a creator, I want to help you help people look good. So that's kind of what I dabble in. I build teams and I build people through visuals.
That's so good, dude. That's amazing, bro. And you guys just got a studio, right?
Yep. Yeah. In Vista, California. Yeah.
What's the vision for now that you have your own space?
Yeah, man, we're going to have a couple different setups. So we're going to have a podcast room and we're going to have a multi-studio that's going to have a whole bunch of different backdrops to do multiple things from, you know, video content, photo content, promotional content for products, whatever it is. We're building out an infinity wall. We have paper backdrops. We have like these walls on wheels that you can turn around and have different backdrops on. And then we're just really, the goal is to be able to create an atmosphere where I can have clients come in, shoot. But even then also build a spot where other creatives can come in. If they want to come in, bring their clients in and have a place to facilitate that. Because I when I was a freelancer, it was hard for me to go run to people's houses and try to shoot in an environment that I've never been to before. And then studio spaces were never ideal, because they never had what I needed. It was just like either like on one far of the spectrum of just photos or just video that's like TV production type. And I'm like, I don't need that. I need like the in between. Like I need it to look like a living room to be able to shoot content for social media. So it doesn't seem so like polished in the sense of like a TV commercial. But I also need to look clean, be professional, all that stuff. So that's kind of what we facilitated, in that sense.
Dude, that's so powerful, man. And the big vision, what would be the big vision for the company? Like where you want to go with all of this?
Yeah, man, we have a long ways to go, but, our big overall vision is I want to build pretty much the same style studio in multiple locations all over the US and then be able to kind of build people to do what we're doing through Optic Element enough to get to a point where we're all over. And then we become one of the most underlining, places to go when it comes to visuals, and that'll then put us in every sphere of influence because you need visuals for everything.
Everything.
Education.
Especially today.
Politics, you know, obviously media, entertainment, all these things, you need visuals. So that puts us in the underlining aspect of every single one of them because I've always wanted to impact every single sphere of influence, but it's almost impossible to do that in a lifetime because you have to dedicate yourself to one and just to get to the top of it. And a lot of people don't even do that. But I feel like through my space is the one space, at least right now, that puts you in at least a common thread with all of them at the same time. And then if you build the top of that, then you'll be at the top of every single one because you control what people see. Because I mean, if you look at the way the government and even like businesses have forged certain ideas and like concepts was through visuals, was through like, you know, whether it's a propaganda, whether it's an ad, whether, you know, like the whole concept of like milk being good for your bones was because milk was down on sales and they needed to be able to have a whole campaign to be able to be like, well, we need people to buy milk. So then they said that, you know, they got athletes to sponsor it. And then they got this whole commercial and they put this whole thing like, oh, milk helps you grow. Milk helps your bones grow. And that is a complete lie that you have then adopted as a truth.
Yeah.
Not because it is true, but because
still ingrained in my subconscious from a kid.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's because you see it so much, because you heard it so much. Now, like your decisions go based off that. So I'm like, what if I can be that guy to do that, but for a better and higher purpose? So that's kind of the overall bigger picture. We want to do that through Optic Element.
That's powerful, man. Thanks for sharing. There's a lot of creatives in the world that have great gifts and talents and ideas. Maybe the videographer, graphic design artist, maybe all of them like you, photographer. What advice would you give to the person just starting out?
Yeah, man, I feel like in any creative space, whether you're a musician, a videographer, whatever, my advice, and this is more of a practical advice because I feel a lot of people give like, you know, go do that thing that you love to do until, you know, like, you know, until you make it. Like that's for me so like it's not practical. But what I would do is whatever it is you're in, find a piece of the market that needs what your industry. So for example, if I was a rapper or a musician, if I made music, although me making music isn't going to like completely blow up right away, but I would find things that people would want. So people are always looking for music for stock video. People are always looking for music to be able to, let's say, put on video games, put in movies. So I would make music towards that geared market because that's what's wanted and needed. And then blow up in that sense, make money in that sense while doing what you're passionate about at the same time. So for us, like we work with social media because, you know, we love to work with entrepreneurs, but it's not necessarily our big vision, but it's what the market needs and the market wants. So we're focused, we're honed in on it. And at the same time, building that skill set while also working on passion projects that we're passionate about, you know, working with politicians and things like that. So that's what I recommend, because you find something practical that the market wants, focus on that within your skill set while simultaneously working on your passion, because then you can build your economic status at the same time as your skill. And then eventually one or the other, you're either going to make enough money to be able to be put on the map, or you're going to do it, be like super good at your skill set that you're going to, you know, get put on the map and then the money will come. So that's the most practical advice I can give to a creative.
That's so good. And I love that, because what I heard you say was find out what the market needs. And I think so many people will get hung up with the want of like, man, I really just want to do this in this space, but nobody knows who you are yet. You're not making any money. You're a starving artist, basically trying to build your business instead of going to market like you guys did and saying, hey, social media is hot. Mm-hmm. So we're gonna go make people look really good on social media,
yeah,
while honing in our skill set, creating money, getting our studio, developing the means to do what we want to do long term in this space.
100%, yeah.
That's playing the long game.
Yeah, 100%. And that's what creativity is a long game, because no one's gonna like just show up to your doorstep and be like, hey, like, we saw you make this graphic online, we want to give you $1 million. Like, it's never gonna happen like that. So you got to figure out what people want. Like, if I was, again, a graphic designer, find out what need, like, people need thumbnails, people need graphics for like promos and flyers and stuff like that. Focus on that while always also working on maybe a clothing brand or whatever it is. You always want to do both at the same time, because some people focus too much on the creative side and they get so hooked on the feeling of, oh, I'm doing what I'm passionate about, but then their financial status is just depleting, and then they're either going to either give up because they're broke and they got to go work at, you know, Chili's, or they're going to just give up completely and then just settle with a 9-to-5 and be like, okay, well, I'm not going to do this. Or maybe I wasn't meant for this. Because again, like, it's easy. The best way to cut a creative at their feet is, you know, deplete them financially. Because then, you know, that's the whole theme, was like starving creatives was like, that was the only way creatives could even live life, is you have to like live paycheck to paycheck. You know, you're good at what you do, but it comes and goes money wise. And that was always a theme for creatives. And I feel like it doesn't have to be like that. I think it's just because, yeah, you know, creatives are extremely passionate, so they're very emotional, which is great for creating, but you also have to have that logistical and strategical side to the way you do life and the way you create too.
Do you feel like, because it's kind of bringing the business smarts and the entrepreneurship to the creativity.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you've always naturally been good at both?
I feel like I was a creative first, for sure. And then in the midst of me kind of like just really trying to figure out my life and then join the Marine Corps, I think I forged more of the strategical side of my life. Like, more, I had to be more intentional about that. I don't want to say I was always super strategical and super logical. I felt like I had the baseline, but it's really easy for your passionate and emotional side to kind of take over that. So I had to hone in both. It's kind of like, you know, to be creative, you got to work on stuff. You got to make something, go out there, do it. In order to build that creative muscle, same thing with your logistic and strategical muscle, you got to do the same thing. So I'm aware of both and I work on both consistently.
Yeah,
so
that's good.
That's how I did it. The Marine Corps really helped me shape that a little bit more. But now I make sure to hone in on both. Like, you know, you want to be able to know when to be more creative, when to be more like strategical. Sometimes you have to take the risk and be far more creative in certain situations. Sometimes you have to back, you know, kind of like take a couple steps back, strategize a little bit before you go in that. So it's a dance between the both, but you have to sharpen both tools. You can't leave one to be dull and then the other to be super sharp. Cause then when you need the other, then, you know, then creativity becomes useless. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
that's great wisdom, man. Appreciate you sharing that. And just anything else that's on your heart that you want to share with the audience today?
Yeah, man. I mean, we talk about a lot of stuff. I feel like for me, whether you're doing life as a regular, you know, entrepreneur, regular person getting your 9-to-5, an entrepreneur, whatever it is, or creative, regardless of the way the world looks, the way your things look right now, it's important to really have something, whether for me it's God or whatever it is for you, to ground you, but then also have some type of vision to move towards. Like, although things don't look great right now, or although things may not be amazing right now, just know there is a point in place and time where they will be, and then know that it's going to come to an end. There's going to be a breakthrough. There's going to be some type of payout, as long as you're doing what you're supposed to be doing and being consistent, because everything compounds. Nothing is ever going to happen, you know, overnight. Nothing's ever going to be like, oh, wow, like, I started a business and it's doing $1 million in revenue a month, you know, and just doing business in 6 months. Like, it's never going to look like that. And it's for a reason. You know what I mean? Like, one thing, going back to, you know, my wife's pregnancy, when my wife was getting like in that really high pain point, she was actually at a point where she wanted to when the waves would happen of the pain, she wanted to actually sit in the pain longer so she can just push the baby out. That was her mentality. She's like, I just want this to be over. But the doulas and the midwives were saying that actually that's not what you want to happen, because if the baby comes out like that right now, the baby's going to get hurt, and also you're going to get hurt in the process of wanting to rush the process, even though, you know, it may feel super painful and you just want to like get it over with. So you wanting to rush through the process, like, there's like, it's hard to like be sitting in the pain. Either you want to dip, you want to leave, or you want to like say, hey, let me just speed walk through it. But sometimes you can't do either, or you have to sit in it and take the time to really let it mold you. Because even if you rush on the way out forward versus backwards, it can actually like hurt you. So like, for example, people who may come into money super fast, like where they make a lot of money, whether business idea or maybe they're a musician or something like that, it tends to break them because they weren't ready for it. So that's something that I realized too, that in the midst of the pain, although it may not be great, I know it's necessary.
Yeah.
And I know that even if I were to, let's say the pain were to leave tomorrow and everything were to come to like the next day, you know, then I know that probably break me because I skipped certain necessary steps that were designed to mold me to be able to hold that capacity.
Yeah.
So everything is, you know, for a reason within pain, 100%. And you got to, although it sucks, you got to learn to really embrace that suck.
That's so good, man. Dude, such an honor to have you on the show. I know such a big takeaway I got from you today was no matter how bad the pain is, how necessary it is.
100%, yeah.
And knowing that God's always the source.
Yeah.
And that, you know, when you feel the most like giving up, make sure you got that person to ground you.
100%, man. That's powerful. So necessary.
Yeah, well, man, honored to have you on the show, Santiago.
Thank you for having me.
We'll definitely have to have you back, guys. And I hope you got a lot out of that episode. And remember, no matter what you're going through in life right now, just like Santiago shared with us today, it's actually necessary for God to take you where he wants to take you and use you in the ways that he wants to use you. So I hope you guys got as much out of this as me. And as always, go make today great.